Hello, this is Greg Allen, and you're welcome to the programme. Our guest in this edition is a bona fide sporting legend, one of the truly world-class sportswomen that this island has produced. A three-time world and three-time European champion, who had at times a complicated relationship with the Olympic Games, achieved her lifelong goal of an Olympic medal on a September night in Sydney in 2000.
Off the final bend, O'Sullivan passes Szabo. It's like the old 5,000 metres in the European Championships. Szabo is just a metre ahead of Sanya down the home straight. Sanya O'Sullivan is just finding Szabo's speed a tiny bit too much. Szabo's going for it. It looks like a silver medal for Sanya O'Sullivan. Szabo gets the gold, 14:48.0, and Sanya O'Sullivan has got the silver medal here.
Sanya, the first point of reference maybe is something which I think I heard you saying about the Olympics, and maybe it's about running being an obsession for you from a very, very early stage. You were racing up and down the street. Racing was your thing.
I think the obsession probably was with just getting better, you know, improving all the time and just finding challenges along the way. So, you know, from a very young age, running home from school at lunchtime to, you know, trying to have as much time at home during lunch because I ran home, and then I could run back as well. So it was 5 minutes as opposed to 15 if you were walking. So little things like that, but it wasn't something that I thought about. It just kind of happened naturally. I always think, you know, a lot of my running career, it kind of evolved from one thing to the next. And it was always these little stepping stones along the way that led to greater things. So once you ticked one thing off, then you moved on to the next.
And when did you first become aware of the Olympic Games? Was there a specific Olympics that spoke to you in a way to say that I want to be there?
I mean, not really. I mean, I think maybe when it was kind of realistic to me was 1988, because I actually achieved the qualifying time in 1987 for the 3,000 metres. But then I went to college in America and I had a few injuries and I didn't quite get back to the same level I was in 87. It was never really discussed that I would go. But what did happen then was I was at Villanova University and there was a girl on our team, Vicky Huber, and she was running in the Olympics and we were all at college. So we all got together in the dorms and watched her racing. And she made it to the final and then she finished sixth in the final. So then all of a sudden, you know, it's someone who I was training with and, you know, she was finishing sixth in the Olympics. So I think that was when it became realistic to me. I mean, up to that point, I didn't think even if I was at the Olympics in 88 that I would have belonged there. That was when, you know, there was a possibility and the idea was in my head.
You have 2 years in Villanova, which are basically destroyed by injury, and a lot of problems evolved there in possibly in terms of motivation. But you come back and 1991, you're World Student Games 1500 metres champion. In 1992, you're seventh in the world cross country. Good early part of the season. You qualify for the Olympics, but you're 22 at the Barcelona Olympics. What was the expectation level you had of yourself there?
I didn't really have any level of expectation. You know, to me, it was, you know, qualify for the final. And then when you're in the final, then you have to see what happens. I won my heat and, you know, so it was kind of, you know, determined to make the final and, you know, I wasn't going to leave it to chance. And I was in the final and the gun went off and I was quite nervous for that. And it was probably because people were telling me I should be nervous. I was like, oh, this is not that hard. You just expected it to be another level because it was the Olympic final, but it was actually quite a slow race and it was quite comfortable. And probably to that point, never even considering that I might get a medal. You know, Yvonne Murray was the main threat. She was the one who had won the European Championships 2 years previously when I ran. She was third in 1988. So she was one of the favourites to win. And then she just took off. And, you know, that kind of, I suppose, got me going. But it was a little bit too early. And I think I ran too hard too soon. Ended up leading the Olympic final coming round that final bend.
The 100 to go. Sonia going for gold. It's Romanova on her shoulder. Also there, Dardoskeek on the inside. It's now Dardoskeek, Romanova, and Sonia's gone to third place. She's got to hold off Angela Chalmers for the bronze. It's a desperate battle for the bronze, a desperate battle, and she's just lost the battle to Angela Chalmers. And Sonia O'Sullivan only just missed out. It was so desperate. She went for the gold, and she just missed out on the bronze medal.
I had never been in that position before, so probably the lack of experience and belief meant that I just fell apart the last 100 metres and ended up fourth.
That's a hard type of realisation when you follow somebody like Yvonne Murray, who is the favourite for the gold medal. but her challenge dissipates at about 250 metres to go and you find yourself in front. What are you thinking? What thoughts go through your mind? This is not part of the plan or what?
Anyone who knows anything about distance running, when you put yourself in the lead like that, if you haven't planned to do it, then you know that everybody's ganging up behind you and they're ready to pounce. And, you know, that they the rest of the field was probably in the position that I would like to be in, where you're watching this person in front and you know that, you know, once it's time to unleash and really go for it, then you're just going to get past quite easily, because once you make that one big move, then it's very hard to come back from that and to go again. And particularly if you're not as experienced or mature as some of the athletes were in the race. And the Olympic champion and second place were both from Russia. And, you know, they had won world championships and been in all these big races before. You know, I suppose the hardest thing was Angela Chalmers snuck past on the outside or the inside, I don't know, and she got the bronze medal. And, you know, she never beat me before or after, you know. And, you know, so when you have something like that, you kind of think, oh, I threw that away. And, you know, would things have been different? Or was that the thing that really kind of ignited the fire in me to believe that I belonged at that level? And, you know, I watched the gold, silver and bronze just, you know, go past me. But I think it was a big kind of eye-opener for me after that race. I wasn't happy being in fourth place, but I did appreciate, you know, the level that it elevated me to and gave me that sense of belonging. It definitely increased my confidence and belief in myself.
Through the end of 1992 and the training winter that you have, 92 to 93, you're now thinking differently. In 1993, you emerge very quickly as being arguably the best in the world. What sort of an athlete did you emerge as a result of elevating through those years of 93, silver medal in the 1500 metres in Stuttgart, when the Chinese were present and probably denied you a medal in the 3000 metres for reasons which we will never fully know the origins, but we know that they're completely discredited at this stage. 94 European champion, and you run away with the European championship in 94, and you pretty much run away with the world championship 5000 metres in 95. And this all feeds into the athlete that you are going to the Atlanta Olympics. The Atlanta Olympics obviously did not go well.
Sonia O'Sullivan makes her bid for gold in Atlanta in the final of the 5,000 metres in less than 2 hours' time. However, a controversy has arisen over reports that Sonia was forced to change her running clothes just minutes before her qualifying heat 2 days ago.
Now, the programme tonight involving Ireland has three athletes, and it will start a course with Sonia O'Sullivan. And her prospects of gold in the 5,000 metres, they are, has to be said, very good. And I have to say that I think Sonia O'Sullivan can win off any pace. And I think Sonia O'Sullivan, with the finishing speed that she has, should take gold tonight. All things going well, but these are the Olympics, and strange things happen at the Olympics.
This is an astonishing development, and one that we would never have expected after a season of such compelling dominance. But Sonia O'Sullivan is now bringing up the rear of the field, and it is looking ominous, awfully ominous.
Chinese gold, and bitter, bitter disappointment for Ireland.
Her father was stoic, mentor Kim MacDonald was unrepentant, and officials bickered. Sonia's own explanation was simple.
Diarrhea, basically. I didn't tell anybody because I'm not somebody who makes excuses.
We spoke to doctors without actually seeing a doctor.
We'll get up for work tomorrow. We'll go to work tomorrow. Everyone will go to work tomorrow. No one has died. It's only sport.
What's your analysis on the reflection that you have now about what happened in Atlanta?
I think I was just always looking for more. You know, when the Olympics came back around in 96, and, you know, even though you have generally the same athletes running in the World Championships as the Olympics, the Olympics is always elevated to this greater level, and you think you have to be better prepared, you think you have to do more. And I think I put myself under a lot of pressure because I thought I had to. I had to walk off the track after every training session thinking that I was going to win the Olympic final. And if it wasn't up to that level, then I wasn't happy. I couldn't kind of put it aside and say, oh, well, you know, it wasn't meant to be today. And I'm sure the looming fact that there was some Chinese athletes going to turn up in Atlanta, he just felt like, I felt like I had to be a better athlete than I already was. So I didn't really accept that I was good enough.
Atlanta, I think, kind of separated your career into what happened before Atlanta and then what happened after Atlanta.
when you're at your lowest, then you lose a lot of respect and you lose that kind of aura of invincibility that you build up. And so you have to find that again. So 97, I think I just tried too hard to make up for 96. And, you know, there was a few failed attempts along the way. I mean, even though I had a silver medal indoors and we had a bronze as a team, you know, I couldn't have been less happy. You know, I just thought, you know, I should have been better, falling into the same traps that I did in 96. So it took me a whole year, really, to get over that and to start all over again.
So you literally go from a very serious low ebb to come out in 98 and you go to the World Cross Country in Marrakesh. And this turns out to be an extraordinary year. Two European gold medals, two World Championship gold medals, and Sonia's reborn. That's how it seemed. Was that how you felt?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had a different approach, a different mindset, I think, to what I was doing. And it was, I suppose maybe I had lost the enjoyment in 96 and into 97. And then I was able to look at the training and the whole process rather than being focused on the result in the race and just let the result happen.
And so many things changed in that period from 97, 98, 99. You meet Nick Badeau, who becomes obviously, you know, your partner, and Alan Story, the change of coach to Alan, who offers you a little bit possibly more discipline and control in how you trained. And then, of course, the birth of Kira in 99. And like, your world is very, very different as you head towards an Olympic year, because you give birth to Kira just about a year before you're running in the Olympic final. What did that do in terms of changing your perspective in the sport that you loved?
I think having Kira and then going to the Olympics was, I suppose you have other things in your life that distract you. It wasn't just all about me anymore, but it was about all of us kind of working together and, you know, finding the time to make it work. Yeah, I mean, I think it was something that helped me a lot. It kept me relaxed. And, you know, even when I ran in the World Cross Country in early in 2000, and I think I finished seventh, I wasn't happy with my result there, because, you know, when you've won 2 years previous, you think you're going to win again. But, you know, then Kira is there and she just wants to smile and laugh and play games. And so you're very easily distracted and not so kind of beating yourself up too much about, you know, a result that I wasn't happy with.
So the Olympics are in September, and that's a very long run in terms of the track season. So the track season is all staggered to be quite late, and some of the big races before the Olympics are in August. I think you ran not so well in Crystal Palace. Days later, you ran really well in Zurich. Got beaten, I think, by Gabriele Jabot in Zurich. And you can see that this is going to be one of your big rivals. You both run well, though. I think the time you ran was one of the fastest times you ever ran for 3,000 metres, 8:27. What did that preparation, how did the preparation go in those weeks before going to Sydney?
Well, I think that race in Zurich definitely gave me a lot of confidence and belief that I was back at a level and, you know, ready for the Olympics. But, you know, in hindsight, maybe I should have stayed and ran one more race.
So the run into the Olympics, you have rivals. And tell me about Gabriele Jabot.
I suppose, I mean, we were kind of friendly, but we didn't really talk that much because we didn't speak the same language, and we would always acknowledge each other. I think we probably had a respect for each other, but I definitely had her number for a good number of years, and now she was kind of coming of age and she was getting to the point where she was probably feeling on top of her game. But at the same time, I never saw her as someone who was unbeatable, but she was definitely the focus of, you know, this is who I've got to beat.
Over to Greg and Jimmy and Katrina.
We're just a minute and a half away from the start of the women's 5,000 metres. And of course, not only Sonia O'Sullivan going in this, but also some very, very serious contenders like Sonia for the gold medal. Gabriele Jabot, of course, the world champion over 5,000 metres. But also Getty Wami, the late addition to the field from Ethiopia. She's the world 10,000 metres champion and easily, easily the fastest woman in the world this year.
We wonder what way the Ethiopians will run. Will they run as the dream team? Will they try and run a pace to try and burn off O'Sullivan?
Definitely didn't go into the race as a favourite to win. I was probably somebody who a lot of the girls feared a little bit if I was close. I believe the Ethiopians had a plan that they were supposed to try and, you know, burn me off in the middle of the race. And they had a bit of an argument in the race. So I suppose I was able to take advantage of that. So, yeah, I mean, it was a pretty loaded field and there was a lot of tension going to that final.
I have to say, we saw the picture of Sonia O'Sullivan on the start line as they show the face of every athlete just before the race. And I thought the strain was beginning to appear there on her face. I mean, she's just dying for this race to start, Katrine, isn't she?
Yeah, this is a really tense time, just being held at the line. And all, as I said, all she wants to do and all those athletes want to do is get out and just run now.
The big thing for me was that I wanted to run well, walk off the track happy. To feel like that, I didn't have to have a medal. I was fit and I was ready to run a good race. Maybe, you know, in hindsight, maybe I wasn't as, I suppose, determined to win or as focused as I had been in the past. Maybe that helped me as well. In Barcelona in 92, it was a surprise and it was exciting. And then in 96, it was a huge disappointment and the expectation was, you know, beyond me. That I felt for Sydney that, you know, I just had to get a good result. I didn't want to, you know, be in the despairs of the stadium again and, you know, lost. And I didn't, you know, I knew I'd finished fourth before. So I thought, well, I'm a lot more experienced. I'm a better athlete than then. I just have to be smart and run the best race I can and just believe that I can do that.
They're at the line of this 5,000 metres final for women at the Sydney Olympic Games. And Sonia O'Sullivan right in the middle of the track. And they're away without any difficulty. No great pushing or shoving. Sonia O'Sullivan immediately trying to make herself prominent right on the shoulder of Gabriela Jabot, who looks to be going to the front straight away.
Around the four-lap mark, the Ethiopians look like they're running in a sort of a team format, which is not unusual. And the lap times are cranking out at 68, 69. And you get somewhat detached, 15 metres away from where Getty Wami is in the lead. And there's a gap. You're back in around 10th, 11th place. Was that a crisis?
I think things happened fast. I think the pace was picked up pretty quickly and I wasn't expecting it. And I can remember the athletes going past me. And then I think Joe Pavey went past me. So I thought, oh no, I can't go back further than this. I've got to keep up with Joe. And then somehow I think she pulled me back into the race. And then there must have been this disagreement with the Ethiopians where they weren't cooperating up the front. And, you know, the whole race concertina back together again. And I think that was a point where I felt like I had been given a lifeline and it was back in the race. And, you know, I couldn't throw it away a second time.
Were there at any point in those 4 to 5 lap territory of the race or even beyond that when any thoughts of Atlanta came into your mind and ghosts begin to develop?
I don't think so. I think I never felt bad. I just felt like I kind of missed whatever was going on. There was a change in pace and I wasn't ready for it. And these things happen so quickly. You know, I'm sure some of the other athletes looking back, they'd be thinking, damn, we should have, if we had only gone harder another little bit, we might have got rid of a few more. You know, I was still in the race and there was a lot going on. There was a lot of noise in the stadium and, you know, we were just moving around the track. And, you know, the 5,000 metres for me was always a difficult race because it was a lot of laps. It was 12 and a half laps. And I much preferred 3,000 metres because, you know, in the 5,000 metres, there's 3 miles. In the 3,000 metres, there's 3 kilometres. So there's a lot less time to lose concentration. And I always knew there was that point in the race where I could very easily lose concentration if I, you know, if I allowed it to happen. Even in an Olympic final, you know, I just had to get through those middle laps and then I could, you know, refocus and be back in the game.
Now at the moment, it's almost a 1500 metre race at this point. So long as she remains in touch, 1500 metres is a distance that she knows she can handle if she has enough reserves. Still dictating the race out front is Getty Wami from Gabriela Jabo, then comes Ailek Worku, then Lydia Chiromai, then Rose Chariot, then Sonia O'Sullivan.
Sonia, she's in an ideal condition there now. She's just in a really good position. She's not taking on any of the work.
If she's got the reserves in store, this is the ideal moment to strike for her.
Yeah, it's like over four or about 4 laps to go, but to me that's 3 laps to go because I always figure, well, the last, if you're there, then the last lap just takes care of itself. The last lap is effortless because that's a territory that, you know, only some people can rise to and really get the best out of themselves. So I just knew I just had to be patient. And there was a point, I think it was coming up to a lap to go, and Arina Mikitenko, German girl, went past me, and you know, she's someone I'm like, oh no, this is too many people here now. I got to get going and make sure that I wasn't going to miss, you know, this first move with 400 to go, which I knew was not the real move. But then, you know, ready for when most likely Zaba was going to make a move back down the back straight.
Sonia Sullivan has moved now into the share of third position right alongside Gete Wami. She looks ready to pounce. She looks like she has a medal in her sights. She looks like she could do it. Zabo and Mikitenko. Zabo goes, but Sonia looks to have it covered. Sonia Sullivan is moving onto the shoulder of Gabriella Zabo with 200 to go. Zabo goes. Now Sonia. Zabo goes. 1 meter clear to Sonia Sullivan. Off the final bend. O'Sullivan passes Zabo. It's like the 5,000 meters in the European Championships. Zabo is just a meter ahead. Sonia down the home straight. Sonia Sullivan is just finding Zabo's speed a tiny bit too much. Zabo's going for it. It looks like a silver medal for Sonia Sullivan. Zabo gets the gold, 14:48.0, and Sonia O'Sullivan has got the silver medal here, and it looked like Gete Wami got the bronze.
I knew that I kind of made a mistake and went too early, and by doing that then I just had to finish the best I could. It was hard. I knew I wasn't going to overcome her unless she slowed down, because she had that gap on me. I couldn't make it up. You know, there was no more I could give. I tried everything in that last straight. Yeah, I mean, there definitely was some mistake made somewhere between 250 and, you know, 150 that I used up a little bit too much energy in there. She had control of the race, and, you know, that's what happens, is whoever's got control of the race is the one who generally wins unless something goes wrong.
Initially, there's that little sense of disappointment, but there's also, you know, a sense of elation and so much emotion just because of, you know, there's so many people out in the stadium tonight that, you know, all those Irish flags out there, it's hard to take it all in. I didn't know what to do, if I should go, you know, for a lap around or not, and I kind of felt a little bit guilty about it. And, you know, it was like being in Ireland, you know, everybody wanted to come and shake my hand and hold me and hug me and, you know, give me a flag and wave at me, and, you know, I had to go and say thank you, and, you know, I just felt so much appreciation for everybody out there tonight.
There was definitely mixed emotion because I knew I was good enough to win, and, you know, ultimately that's what you want to do when you set out to, you know, compete in an Olympic final. So it was my third Olympics, and you're thinking, you know, I may never get this chance again. You know, eventually you do accept that, okay, well, silver is, you know, it's better than nothing. On that night, the reaction from everybody and the support from everybody meant that, you know, once you accept how the race played out and that I actually did run a good race, I ran, you know, as well as I could, given everything, you know, leading up to it. You see, the silver is as good as gold, and, you know, it's something to be proud of, something to be happy about. But, you know, if, you know, athletes are strange people, you know, if you win a race, you think you could, you still think you could do better. You could run faster, or, you know, you could have done something better. You're never completely satisfied. And, you know, ultimately, you know, I think I got myself in the best shape possible. I put myself in the right position. And, you know, sometimes you react on instinct in a race, and the best plans don't always work out the way you want them to. And, you know, you have to accept what happens. And, you know, someone has to win, someone has to be second, someone has to be third. And the best places that you can be in an Olympic final. And, you know, if you were to run the race again, then, you know, you possibly would have the same people, but a different result. But you only get to run it once. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately it was, you know, the Olympic silver medal was, you know, an Olympic medal that I dreamt about, that I trained for, that I worked hard for, and, you know, that I was, you know, I suppose grateful to be able to bring it back to Ireland, and, you know, to be one of, you know, small number of Irish Olympic medalists, three times chasing it. Many people, you know, chase it all their life and never get any medal. So, yeah, I think I was, you know, very, in the end, I was satisfied with the result. But yeah, you always have those questions in your mind, you know, what if I had done things differently? It's probably a greater achievement to win the World Championships. I think it's a harder achievement to win an Olympic medal of any colour. It stands out as, you know, one of my greatest achievements, just for what it took to get that medal. I don't think about it that much. It's funny. I think I meet more people now who watch the race, you know, when I go to different events at different schools, people who, you know, had the television brought into the classroom when the race was on because it was nighttime in Australia, it was morning time in Ireland. I get to relive that experience through other people's memories.
Do you really enjoy the feeling of being an Olympic silver medalist?
I don't think that's how I identify myself. I think that was a part of my life and it was a long time ago now. When I look back at when I won the medal, Ronnie Delaney was the last track medal and I was born long after he won his medal. So they're not easy medals to win for sure. And so I think that's the thing that stands out the most about an Olympic medal is, you know, how difficult they are to win. And yeah, I mean, I think the Olympics is definitely the ultimate dream for many athletes across all sports to even go to. But then to get an Olympic medal, you know, just is that icing on the cake.
And finally, were you touched, were you affected by how many people were extraordinarily happy for you, given everything that had happened in your career, from the highs and the lows, that you had got the dream of an Olympic medal?
Yeah, I mean, I think you definitely don't think about, you know, everything that comes with winning an Olympic medal, especially when you come from a country, you know, like Ireland, who we don't have so many Olympic medalists, and sport is so important here. And it's just a part of everything. But you don't prepare for that like you prepare to line up on the track and to take your place in history.
Sonia O'Sullivan, thank you for joining us on the programme.
Thank you.